Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
And this is the Donalana Kitchen. We get together here once a week to talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions at the beautiful studios of downtown Ames of KHOI Community Radio. We get by with a little help from our friends.
Oh, yes. The Donalana Kitchen is sponsored in part by Practical Farmers of Iowa, a member-based, farmer-led, nonprofit organization that has been strengthening farms and communities through farmer-led investigations and information sharing since 1985. You can find out more at their website, www.practicalfarmers.org.
And not only Practical Farmers, but we have help from other friends, too.
Support for KHOI comes from ISU Theater, presenting Iphigenia, a new telling of an old legend about the daughter of Agamemnon, February 23rd through March 4th in Ames. Tickets and show times at theater.iastate.edu.
And we thank everybody, and we thank our listeners. Thanks for joining us today around our kitchen table. Well, we're not through with winter yet.
Oh, no, we got a beautiful blast. Beautiful blast.
Oh, wasn't it? Especially if you didn't have to go anyplace. Too bad, and our hearts are out to people that kind of got little fender benders and
ooh,
crashes.
Yeah, yeah. I
and
think there was something really even like a fatality involved.
Yes,
in
yeah.
People not driving properly in the snow if the 5 or 6 inches.
Oh, it was. I had to get my winter driving skills back. Seven inches. Oh, my goodness. I got my driving skills back. I learned to drive when I went to school in Northern Wisconsin.
Yeah, we know how to drive in snow. Yeah, we just got to remember to behave ourselves.
The trouble is everybody else. You see a hill coming up, and you see all those cars in front of us, and you're talking to them. You say, don't stop. And if they stop, you start moving backwards. That actually happened on my way home a little bit, but I think enough people.
Yeah, we do have a few hills here in
Iowa. A few hills, yes.
Well, I have to say, all the teenagers were out. They got out of school early, and my 13-year-old grandson was zipping all over downtown, jumping off of snow mountains left by the street graders, and, glorious time because it's not quite that cold out. It's just gorgeous.
Enjoy winter, and there are things we can do to stay healthy because there is the flu around. There are colds around.
Wear your muffler and your mittens, you might come down with the snuffles.
Right.
So we have a little advice for you.
Yes.
Yes, our lovely intern, Felix Nguyen, has a recipe from her mother.
Yeah, my mom shared with me her flu balm recipe. It has some pretty regular cold-fighting ingredients like 1 clove of garlic, chop that fine or blended, 1/2 inch piece of ginger, chopped fine as well, and then 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper, 1 whole lemon, I'm assuming the juice of this, 1 teaspoon of honey, and then enough hot water to fill up the cup. And she says if you drink this 2 times a day, it'll prevent your flu or it'll help you get rid of your flu fast.
Yes, and never doubt your mother's wisdom.
That's true.
That's a good recipe.
That's a kind of good thing to say.
Thank you
on.
To yeah. Felix's mom. We do the same in our house, I must say.
Yeah, I have started that. Well, since I've started this show, I learn all kinds of things on this show.
Well,
so
if you grow
you,
enough
Donna.
Garlic, you should probably be able to keep the wolves, what is it? Not wolves.
Vampires.
The vampires, yes. The vampires at bay and the flu bugs. There we go.
We shall try. We shall try.
Garlic is better than 10,000 mothers. It's an old saying.
Yeah, we yes. say that. We
and
do.
10,000 mothers will tell you to eat 10,000 cloves of garlic.
That's right.
That pretty much covers that. Yes, it does. Another good thing is other things that we can eat and keep ourselves healthy during the winter. What do you have to say, Donna, about bone broth?
Oh, broth. 'Tis the season for soups and stews and, stocks or broths, as it were. So I went to, now, bone broth has recently become a product.
The word is trendy. Yeah, okay.
Trendy. Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yes. Trendy. You can go to at least your local health food stores, and I noticed in ours, in the freezer, there was chicken broth, quite expensive. I think $12. Now, this is not the kind of stock that you buy in a can or the aseptic package, which is a much weaker version and probably doesn't have, well, certainly flavor-wise, I have to say it does not have the same oomph. Of course, I am into encouraging everyone to make their own stocks and broths. However, you can buy it because people have all of a sudden become very conscious of its medicinal and nutritional value, which is ancient. And I say there's a lot of veracity in it. It's kind of like the garlic and cayenne thing, you know. This is what people have been eating for thousands of years. And it's only in the last 50 years that we were throwing away the bones, you know. Now people are going, I know even in some native traditional societies, when they catch the elk or the moose or the bison, the old people get the marrow of the bone because it is very fortifying.
Very good.
It's very rich. It's very good for you. So I did go to Nourishing Traditions, which is Sally Fallon book. Now, she is kind of like the mother of the resurgence in this kind of nutrition. So you can buy beef stock, chicken stock, and this is the super concentrated, lots of collagen variety, and it's usually in the freezer. And, you know, or you can buy the little bottles of bone broth, and we're talking $8 or $10 a pop. It's not cheap. And making your own here would be advisable because it's better, probably. And it's just a little adventure in the kitchen. And even though you think it does take a long time. You can do this and simmer the pot for 3 days if you want to. However, you don't have to stand there the whole time. You get it going, you put it in your crock pot, and you can kind of forget about it. You know, top it off occasionally if it's getting too low. So Sally Fallon has some good recipes, and it's just – okay, like she's got a quote from Auguste Escoffier. Indeed, stock is everything in cooking. Without it, nothing can be done because it is the base of really any – you know, you go to any high-end restaurant and they have made their own stocks because soups just do not taste the same way if you've popped a bouillon cube in it, you know. I had one time I was running a commercial kitchen and the staff kind of went behind my back and popped in some of those soup-based powders and I tasted it and I said, no, guys, I told you not to use these products. They go, how did you know? I said, I can't taste it. Taste it.
And that's your job.
So yeah, yes. Yeah, exactly. So Sally Fallon says, she says the difference, she says it's called, if it's homemade, you kind of call it a stock or a broth if it's homemade. You know, a mother would say, have some broth, darling. In the kitchens, in commercial kitchens, it's really referred to as stock, although there is no difference. So beef stock, chicken stock, you know, there's a few different techniques. Basically, with the beef stock, she says, and I tend to agree with this, beef stock must be made with several sorts of bones, knuckle bones and feet, which are very hard to get, if not impossible. Impart large quantities of gelatin to the broth. Marrow bones impart flavor and the particular nutrients of bone marrow. And meaty rib and neck bones add color and flavor. So she's saying place the knuckle and marrow bones and the optional calf's foot, or I don't think we can get calf's feet here. I haven't seen anybody that's processing them unless you're killing your own damn cow, which doesn't happen very often. Pig's feet are occasionally available. Chicken feet maybe are more available. And the thing with the feet parts, and, you know, this might be heresy, but I would not be above putting chicken feet into a beef stock. I mean, animals are animals. You know, you want clean, healthy animals, and you can put them all in the same pot together.
And chicken feet aren't really, if you butcher your own chickens, or if you happen to know a farmer, they're not all that hard to come by if you ask.
And they're usually just discarded, which is a pity, because the little feet of the little animals all have lots of collagen in it, which we all need for tissue rebuilding and skin and hair and certainly bones and things like that. So the basic idea is, in a very large pot, you put vinegar. You have to have some vinegar in it.
Huh.
Not enough to make it acidic to the taste, but the vinegar helps extract the minerals.
Ah.
So, and you cover it with water, and she says let it stand an hour. I don't know why. And then this is more traditional. You put the meaty bones and you roast the bones in the oven at a very high heat for a little while. Mm-hmm. Then once the bones are kind of cooked, you put them into the stock. And you also, the pan that you've cooked the bones in it, you want to deglaze it and get all the little flavorful bits, the caramelized meats. This will add a lot to the flavor of stock. So you take your roasting pan and put a little more water into it and, you know, let it sit and slush around and make sure you get all of that. And then you pour that into the stock pot. So now she says you must start it at a cold temperature and bring it up from that. However, I have to say I did consult Harvey Theis in Molecular Gastronomy. So he goes into the science of the whole thing, and he's written up a whole experiment where I mean, this man is unbelievable. So he actually made the stock, one with starting with hot water and another with starting with cold water, and like at 10-minute intervals, he measured the concentration of the blah, 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 blah with a blah, 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 you know, very scientific, and he concluded it does actually not matter, especially if you're boiling something for, you know, 10, 12 hours, 3 days, who knows, it really doesn't matter. So you don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Now, the other thing that I do that is not written about, but especially for chicken stock, which I make frequently because, you know, you roast a chicken, you make everybody throw their bones into a plate, and later that goes into the stock pot. People tend to put vegetables in their stocks. You know, I mean, if you've been cleaning leeks and you have all the green top parts and you're going to throw them away anyway, or your carrot peelings, people even put potato peelings and things like that. You know, if you're using parts of the vegetables that you would discard anyway, I think it's no big deal. However, I keep it really simple. I just drop a few herbs in it, mostly bay leaves in any of my stock. A little thyme is good, you know, all of those sorts of things. So you get the bones into the water with something acidic. Can be vinegar. Some wines would work too, you know, just something to suck the minerals out.
Now, I didn't know about that acidic bit. I'm going to have to do that.
Good. Overdo it, because you don't want it to taste like vinegar
water. Teaspoon size or drizzle?
Well, let's see what she's got.
Some.
Okay. In her recipe, she's got, well, with 4 quarts of cold filtered water, as she says, but she's got it with 4 pounds of beef marrow and knuckle bones, 1 calf's foot, 3 pounds of meaty rib or neck bones, and then 4 quarts of water and a half cup of vinegar to amount.
So a good glug. Okay.
And that's a big pot. So anyway, you bring it. You don't want to boil the hell out of this, you know. You don't want lots of bubbles going. You want it at a slow simmer, just barely bubbling on the surface. Now, I always leave mine overnight, so easily 24 hours. You can go longer. In fact, I've worked in kitchens with some marvelous Chinese chefs. They have a stock pot going all the time, forever and ever and ever. And you just keep, I mean, there is a point where you have to start a fresh pot, and, you know, you can't go forever, but it's just a work in progress. So I think I find the crock pots are marvelous for that. You know, it's not like you have to go to bed with an open flame burning, you know, you just put the crock pot on, you get it up to temperature, and mine just has two settings, high and low. So, you know, I work it on high for a while, and then I turn it down to low, and I just forget about it. So it couldn't be easier. Now, once you've made it, particularly with beef, but also with chicken, once you've got it cooked and cooked and cooked, then you want to strain all the big bits out of it, and then you want to refrigerate it and cool it because the fat will rise to the top. So usually for that, you want to lift that off once it's kind of hard, like cold butter or something. And then you can either you can put it out for the birds. You can feed it to the animals. You can use little bits of it to cook. You just don't really want it
back into a soup.
Yeah. And the other thing that you do, especially in the beginning when you're cooking it, it'll get kind of frothy bits on the top.
Yeah, what exactly is that frothy bit stuff? Icky bit.
It's called impurities. Now, whatever the hell that means, I don't know. It's probably mineralization. Cynthia says it's droth.
Droth.
I don't know that word.
Droth.
Droth.
Scummy
droth.
Oh.
Anyway, you just kind of
fish
that out.
Yeah.
Suspect if you're using animals that have been raised in really healthy, wonderful environments, I don't think there can be anything really bad in it. I think it's probably a textural thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's always suggested that you pull that off rather early in the cooking. So there it is. It couldn't be simpler. Now, once you've got – oh, and there are some old things too. And Hervé Thies has something to say about this in molecular gastronomy. There's the question of clarifying the broth. Now, I don't do that. It's just a visual kind of thing. Now, if I were making what is that? There's an old thing. There's a cocktail called a bull shot.
Ooh.
Where you have clarified bouillon or a consommé, which is a very fancy chilled beef stock that's served in small, you know, I've seen it. It's actually lovely. So you take this beef stock, which is very gelatinous, and it needs to be clear to make a lovely presentation. This is very old, probably very British and French. And you kind of jumble it up till it's in little cubes, and you put it in one of the early courses in a dinner. So for those kinds of courses, you do want to clarify. Now, there are old ways of doing this. One used to be
clarify, okay,
that you drop coffee grounds into it. Now,
what in the world?
I know. The theory is that the larger particles precipitate some of the less clear elements of the broth. So Hervé Thies takes this to he tests this one out too, right? Okay, first of all, I'm not sure I'd want the coffee flavor in my broth. So he does say some people run water through their coffee grounds to get that out. Then you put it in. And then he goes through this whole thing about the sedimentation rate and the weight of the particles. And he measures this and he measures that. And basically he comes down to, you know, this really doesn't work. It's no big deal. Don't bother. Okay. That's from molecular gastronomy. The other way of doing it, and this is an old one, which I also have not done, clarified stock, and this is from Sally Fallon in Nourishing Traditions. You take 2 quarts of the defatted stock. You have 2 egg whites lightly beaten. She does say, for most recipes, clarification is unnecessary. If you want a perfectly clear stock, however, add egg whites and bring to a boil, whisking with a wire whisk. When the stock begins to boil, stop whisking. Let boil for 3 to 5 minutes. A white foam, gradually becoming a spongy crust, will form on the surface. Once it's off the heat, lift off the crust and strain the stock again through a liner, a strainer lined with, she says, a kitchen towel, which was, you know, cheesecloth or something like that. Now, that's if you really, really want it clear. So there you go. Lots of options. Basically, when all is said and done, You boil it at a low. You throw in the bones and the all the bits. You boil it at a low simmer for as long as you can be bothered with a few herbs in it. I mean, if you want vegetables, the traditional ones are not garlic because that gives it a flavor that you may not want to use in just everything. But onions, celery, carrots, parsley. Those are kind of the classic ones. I don't even do any of those. I am a bay leaf person. And I would say thyme might be nice too.
Yeah, it is nice, especially if you're doing a large quantity of stock, to have kind of just stock to work with when you pull it out of the freezer.
Right.
Or pull
and
it
don't forget to put the vinegar or the something acidic. And then once you've got the stock in the a rather significant quantity, I would say maybe a gallon or something, break it into smaller quantities and put them in the freezer and just use them. It's I have to say, in Brooklyn, which is now it's like the mecca of culinary hipsterdom, there are places where you can go for bone broth, a bone broth bar.
Oh, my.
So you go in for a cup of bone broth. And I imagine they're rather pricey, you know, more than a cup of coffee, but because it is nourishing, it is comforting, and it's not a bad idea. Now, we don't live in Brooklyn, so make your own bone broth.
No, we're in the part of the country where you can even get to know your chicken or your cow.
You can get those bones.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I've been making some, or I made some out of a pork bone, ham bone. They
sure.
Were just fine.
Lamb, pork, beef.
Venison, too.
Venison, yes.
Venison
absolutely.
Is lovely.
Absolutely.
Now, you'd think it'd be people say venison is gamey. What? No, no, it's not.
Not around here.
No.
They're all eating corn.
They're all eating corn. Anyway, same idea, but I will. Oh, I'm going to put in some little vinegar here. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Good.
Tastes good. Feels good. Good for you.
Good base for a lot of other
absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. And don't be intimidated by the process. It's actually very simple. It's just get that crock pot out. And finding the source of good bones is in fact, I must say, bone broth has become so trendy that people are charging a lot for their bones. You used to get them for free. Oh, give me a dog bone, please. Fido wants it, you know. And then you throw it in the crock pot. But Story City Locker has bones. Stores are starting to carry them. I, of course, am very careful to pick the bones of animals that I think are not going to have a lot of, what shall we say?
Additives?
Yes. Yes.
Let's call them additives.
I like my grass-fed bones or my organically raised bones because whatever is in the animal is, of course, going to go into the broth.
Yes, it is. My goodness.
So, to your health.
Thank you for those healthy thoughts, Donna. We have a little some information from the Donna Lana Kitchen News Department here. Tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick-tick-a-tick. That's a ticker tape from our news department. I've got a few words about water here. Things have been coming up in the internet land about water.
Yes, it's going to be a rather large electoral issue in our state this year. I hope. Finally.
I hope. We have to think about this thing. We've got some bad news and good news here. Let's start with the bad news. Our current administration is seeking to limit and get rid of Obama-era clean water rules.
WOTUS, wasn't it called?
Yeah, the Waters of the United States or something?
Something
or
like that.
Something
the
like
WOTUS.
That, as opposed to POTUS. Yes, it is. Mr. Donald Trump thinks it's one of the worst examples of federal regulation.
Overreach of the government.
When
my
you think
goodness.
About it, we do sort of need this water here. And here's another bad news thing. It takes 5 million gallons of fresh water is used to frack a single gas well. So there's two kind of birds with one stone. You get your fracking going on. But there goes our drinking water. It's not so good, folks. It's
well,
not.
We always go, you know, we're not, the fracking is not actually happening in Iowa. It's we're just transporting it. Mm-hmm. However, we have our own water issues, and most of them come from agriculture.
Right, right. So think about all that water stuff. So there's some bad news about water if we're not going to be taking responsibility for it. Here's another thing about taking responsibility for water. You know how everybody carries around a water bottle now? We buy a lot of water that comes to us in all these plastic bottles. Well, those plastic bottles kind of go all over the place. There's
as the quality of the water.
Every year, Americans dump 50 billion of those plastic bottles that we buy our water in. We dump them. Why is that a problem? Because it doesn't go anyplace. It is
plastic.
It stays there forever. However, here, no, get this. We're always coming up with something. A new product.
Oh, of course. There's a commercial solution to this
problem,
right?
Watch this. I think
something you can
buy.
A
new product was made by the London-based startup group called Skipping Rocks. That's the name of the company. They have created something out of seaweed that turns water into a blob. It's like encasing a large raindrop.
Spherification. It's been used gastronomically in some of these very high-end restaurants.
Yes,
spherification.
For things like bubble tea and, I don't know, it's putting a liquid in a film. And these folks are working on making this film strong enough so you can kind of like, instead of buying a bottle, you'd buy a bubble of it. Now, what's kind of nice about why they're working on this bubble is that the bubble is basically made out of seaweed.
Which is probably good for you.
You could eat it if you wanted to. You could. I don't know what it tastes like.
Okay, so you got an edible water bottle, so to speak.
At least this globule is biodegradable. So we're working on it. We're working on it, folks.
Who knows how we're going to solve these problems? We have to be hopeful about it.
So look for edible bubbles in your future. We should maybe, and let's hope that the water that we have left to put inside of the bubbles is drinkable.
Is worthy of the container. Okay.
You are listening to KHOI. This is Community Radio, and this is Donna Lana Kitchen. This is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. Let's talk cake here. This time of year, I like to eat other people's food. So I've been out to a few different establishments in the area. And I would like to give a shout out here to a chef on Main Street in Ames Brett DeBleek. Yes, he's up there in the kitchen working away, and
his
food.
What's the name of the restaurant? Bar La Tosca.
Bar La Tosca. Brett DeBleek is up there, and he told me once, well, I really don't like to do desserts all that much, so I just have a few on the menu. But over the years, enjoyed his lemon olive oil cake.
Yes, and I believe Brett has a very solid training in traditional Italian foods, so.
That fits really well because, and I've been kind of ordering that every now and then over the years, and it seems every time I go in, he puts a new twist on it. It seems to have lots of variety. It used to just be kind of this lovely cake that you'd get and have a nice cup of coffee with. The last time, the reason I'm bringing this up, here it was cold winter night, and I wanted a little piece of cake, and that sounded good. And what was put in front of me was lovely. It was the lemon olive oil cake split in two with
mascarpone
in the middle, which, how can you go wrong? And a lovely...
So like a little cake sandwich.
Oh, a little cake sandwich. Ooh. And a lovely frosting of... must have been put under a broiler or something because it was sugar and pecans on top.
Oh, yum.
Just enough to make it real. It's not overly sweet, and I like that. So
no, it's not. It's not.
No. So, Donna, what can you tell us about olive oil cakes?
Don't we already have this in our recipe archive, the torta extra virgin?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's the pound cake we have.
We've got cakes. We've got all. But we really don't have anything that says olive oil cake.
Okay,
I've never made one myself.
We'll have to get that recipe on. So we're encouraging you to do something lemony for the upcoming Valentine's Day. These are two cakes that do not use butter. Uh-huh. So we'll do the olive oil cake, and then we'll do the lard pound cake. So the torta extra virgin, which is also something I've been making for years and years, and I love it. I use a recipe from something called Cucina Rustica, Vanya Laplace and Evan Clayman. This is a rather old book. It's subtitled Simple, Irresistible Recipes in the Rustic Italian Style. So the cake is, I bake mine in a bundt pan. So you flour and... You know, I actually use olive oil to grease the pan, and then you flour it. And I have used this cake for a lot of things. I've used it for wedding cakes. I've used it for this version has eggs, but I've used egg substitute, and you can make a vegan cake out of it. I've even substituted the honey for the sugar for people who don't eat sugar. This is it's not a fluffy cake. So basically this one has not just lemon in it. You do this funny thing. You start it out by, taking the skins. What I do is I use my juicer and I get all of the pith and kind of ream it down to just the skin part of two oranges and two lemons.
Oh.
And I save the juice because, you know. Why waste it? I mean, you can drink it or you can or you can save it and reduce it and pour it over the cake at the end, too. But anyway, you start out with two oranges and two lemons and you boil them until they're really soft. I mean, just the skins. And you boil them till they're really soft. And then you, I put them in the food processor and grind them up. So you have this kind of very citrusy, bitterish kind of pulp, right? Okay, so then you, she says, in a saucepan, simmer the whole oranges. Oh, she does it differently than me. Or maybe I do it this way. Correction. Cut the lemons and the oranges in half. Boil them for about a half an hour until they're very soft. Then you ream the pulp out, okay? There we go.
Let's put this on the website after you get done
It. Sorry. So anyway, you drain and cool the fruits. You scoop out and discard the pulp. Okay. In a food processor, you pulverize the skin completely until it's a very fine puree. Okay. Remembered. I do this from memory. So, whoa, my memory. Anyway, so then you beat four eggs and you add 3/4 cup of sugar until it's light and, with the hand mixer, light and fluffy. Then in another bowl, you mix together 1 cup of unbleached flour, baking powder, that's 3 teaspoons, half teaspoon of salt. Then you have, so you have three things. You have the fruit puree, the dry ingredients, the eggs and the sugar. Oh, and you have the fourth thing, 2/3 cup of olive oil, and also 1 cup, half a cup of almonds. So you toast the almonds and then you grind those really finely.
Oh, too. The in the cake.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I put mine, actually I use my coffee mill to grind them really fine. So what you're doing is you're mixing, slowly you're mixing the flour mixture to the egg mixture, and you're alternating with olive oil and finishing with the flour. So you're pouring a little of the flour into the eggs mixture, and then you're adding a little olive oil, and you just, this, I just mix this by hand. It's really, and then you, at the end, once you've mixed the flour mixture, the egg and sugar mixture and the olive oil, then you fold in the almonds and the pureed citrus skins.
Uh-huh.
Now, to this, at some point, usually I put in the egg part, I add just a dot of almond extract. Huh? Not too much. You don't want it. You know how that almond extract takes over. So just a tiny little bit. Sometimes I add vanilla extract, and I always add a little bit of coriander,
ooh,
dried ground coriander.
As in pinch, as in half teaspoon?
Oh,
as in
half a teaspoon at least.
Okay.
Maybe even. I like the citrus with the coriander flavor. Mm-hmm. So then once you've got them all mixed together like that, you pour it into the greased prepared pan. Does not have to be a bundt pan. I don't know. What shape is Brett's?
No, it's a cake pan.
A flat
cake.
That's
pan.
Even easier.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you, this one says 8-inch springform pan. You bake for 50 minutes, until the toothpick comes out clean, as it were. And then it's a lovely, it's not overly sweet, but you can do all kinds of things with it, like you were describing it with the mascarpone. I sometimes serve it with okay, if you're doing it for Valentine's Day and you have to have something red, you could make a little either strawberry or raspberry or strawberry and raspberry coulis, just kind of lightly cook them and mash them up and pour it over. Or you can just put fresh cut berries and a nice whipped cream. I like to use my rose geranium flavored whipped cream. Wonderful for Valentine's Day. So you can do all kinds of little flavorful additions with this basic cake.
Ooh,
so we
good.
will have that recipe posted for you.
Yes. Now, a recipe we do have on the website is the, what are you going to talk about next? The
lard pound cake.
What's the difference between a pound cake and this lemon olive oil cake? They both kind of turn out to be this nicely substantial cake.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's textural. You know how pound cakes, so they're called pound cakes because the original recipe was a pound of eggs, a pound of flour, and a pound of butter.
Uh-huh.
That's why it's called pound cake. And pound cakes notoriously have a very fine but heavy texture. These are not light and fluffy little things here. You usually bake them in a loaf pan and you slice them off, and then you can garnish them however you want. So this pound cake is called a buttermilk pound cake, and it is made with lard for the fat. Now, we have done this recipe online, so I'll just quickly say 1 cup of lard, 3 cups of flour, 2 cups of sugar, 4 eggs, 1 cup of buttermilk. Now, they put lemon extract in it instead of lemons, and actually, for this cake, I have to say it works. And then, of course, baking soda, salt, and baking powder. And then afterwards, they glaze it with confectioner's sugar, lemon juice, and orange juice, which is nice, and it gives you more lemony flavor. I don't always make the glaze. It depends on what else I want to do with it, because like the olive oil cake, once you've made this loaf, it is amenable to all kinds of decorations and flavors and additions and personalizations. And so these are two different cakes that do not have butter in them. It's fun to work with different fats. I have to say, we're a traditionally a very buttery culture here, but we used to use a lot of lard, and not just in pie crusts.
Mm-hmm.
So, two options for a lemony cake for Valentine's Day.
Ooh, very good, very good. Let's take a little moment here for a poem. Every now and then I like to read a poem here. Let's think of immigrants. Let's think of immigrants coming to Iowa about 150 years ago. They came to this new land that was an unknown prairie. People heard a lot of good things
about it.
It
was, however, not uninhabited.
It wasn't. We have to remember that. It wasn't.
There were people here before us, native people, and then us old white folks came along, and we were the immigrants at the time.
This is written in the voice of a German woman. It's from a poet called John David Thompson. He wrote a book that I got at the Ames Public Library called 99 Voices, 99 Lives. He wrote a poem for every county of Iowa. And this is a poem he wrote about Fayette County. And he writes it in the voice of a German woman. She writes to her friend from in the wooded northeast. Oh, Goethe, oh Goethe, there aren't any trees. We traveled from stagecoach to steamboat, then rail. We said goodbye to timber at the Mississippi River. It was still frosted. My youngest said, look, the world looks like a giant strudel. Then he looks westward and asks, Die Mutter, where are the hills? In Iowa territory, we exchange greetings with other Germans, a family from Ohio. All faces were determined as possessing armies to conquer the much-talked-about West. Husband Frank likes it here. He walks among the slow grasses, taming the quick rush of the streams. I spend most of the lanterns burn with stars. I cut and sew a grand blanket. I'll tuck it away with homesick days in a dark chest of cedar. Goethe, I've something for your humor to tell you. Last night, in the sod house, my daughter, Giselle, inquired of me why I dyed the stitching a light blue. I told her, to put out the blazes of prairie fires, surely to arrive with the hoppers next summer. That's why I'm going to give it the color of water. There. That was a thought about a German immigrant woman in Iowa by poet John David Thompson. You're listening to KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We've been talking about things to warm our souls during this cold winter. We have all kinds of advice about staying healthy and warm, and learned about bone broth today, and also cakes, different kind of cakes. It's nice to warm up the kitchen.
I have to say that it's a bright and shiny Iowa winter. You know, when we get all that snow and then the sun comes out, it's so beautiful. It's so cheerful.
It's nice to see everything covered in white again.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as I've got a good neighbor or somebody with a good snow plow, I'm happy. Shovel that snow. Yes. Like I said, this is the Donalana Kitchen, and the recipes that you heard today can be found on the Donalana Kitchen webpage. You can go to the community station website here, khoifm.org. That takes you to this, the wonderful world of this radio station. Look for the Donalana Kitchen place there and kind of get your cursor on there and go to, we've got archives.
We've got 3 or 4 pages now
of
backlog shows of information in case you remember something and now what was it we said or...
If you can't get enough of us. Yeah, there you have it. And recipes, because there's also a recipe page and the lard pound cake.
It's on there. And pretty soon the olive oil cake will also be on there.
Good.
Just in time for your Valentine's Day celebration.
Yeah, these are kind of cakes that I like.
These are easy cakes to make, really.
The kind that hold together and you can...
You're not like going to make 5 layers out of stuff. No.
Thank goodness.
No, it's really
just something. And good with a cup of coffee. I always like cakes like that.
Absolutely.
That's good. So you can go to our website, go to khoifm.org. And I want to recommend you also kind of scroll around and look at other things there on our website. Most recently, there has been two additions added. This radio station has interns, and people come here, and they do projects, and they help us out a lot. And there's all kinds of creative people here. There was an intern here named Aaron O'Neill, and one of his things that he did was he went around with a video camera and interviewed some of us folk that are on the radio, and there are different little interviews he did, and he did one of us. He sat us down in the
ask us some questions. How do we do this? What are we talking about?
And we just started to talk.
We just blathered on as we always do.
So,
and then he edited it down. Right.
Thank you, Aaron. You did a fine job. If you would like to find out more about us and see what we look like.
Oh, dear.
It's there. There is a video there, and it's fun.
Not glam, you know. We're two nice little old ladies here in Iowa.
We were just sitting there, and yeah, we did good, and we didn't, yeah. It's about 4 minutes long or so.
I have to say visually, in the photo, behind Lana's head is a whole bunch of cattails, you know. It looks like she's got them sprouting out of her head. Fine visuals here.
It's good.
Captures something, you know? What does that say? Okay.
There's us.
Okay, and then there's another video.
Our friend Helen Gunderson sent us a video of KHOI radio marching in the Ames 4th of July parade.
Oh, the 4th of July parade video. Oh, fun.
And it was a few years ago. When was that? In 2000.
Oh, well,
anyway.
Somewhere in the past.
It was when Ames was celebrating its 150th anniversary.
Oh, was that the year we went in our little historical costumes?
So I wish to point out that Donna and I are walking next to this old historic car in his old Model T or whatever, and we are wearing historic outfits. We don't normally dress like that.
Well,
we really don't.
Speak for yourself, Lana.
I mean, here we are in our funny, in our old hats and aprons and our old... Well, we dress comfy, but we're not quite so historically correct.
Well, I have a tendency for wearing vintage aprons all over town, I must say.
Anyway, you'll see us there. And
I don't bother with the chef's coat. It's the vintage apron look, you know?
I like that.
My grandmother wore these things.
Yeah. There you go.
You can trust whatever your grandmother used to eat, it's probably still okay to eat.
Very good. Even Jell-O.
Well, the gelatin.
Gelatin is good for you.
From a good calf's foot is very nourishing.
There we go.
As we were just saying in our discussion of stocks.
There we go. So thanks to Erin O'Neill and Helen Gunderson for those additions to the Donald on the Kitchen website.
Oh, I have a quick hack I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
If you don't have time to make a stock, what you can do is buy that sort of ridiculous stuff in the aseptic package. This is better than a bouillon cube, okay? So if you buy, particularly if you buy like organic chicken stock in the aseptic package and you warm it up and you add maybe a teaspoon or less of gelatin to it.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that's a quick hack.
I'll be darned.
Better than a bouillon cube, okay?
There you go.
Okay.
I've used that stuff every day.
Well, gelatin is very nutritious, and now we have organic gelatin available from several sources, and I keep a large supply of it in my pantry.
Very good. Things that are good for our insides. Yes, yes. Oh, we have some upcoming things happening here. This coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Ames Public Library is having a gardening book sale, something I'm sort of interested in, so I'll just mention
that. Oh, yes, we're priming the pump for the spring that probably will come.
Well, I think so. Get those garden lists of seeds going, yes. So that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, this coming weekend at the Ames Public Library, 9 o'clock in the lobby.
A gardening book sale.
Hmm. So learn how to, or there's a lot of books that just show you pretty pictures.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Inspiration, that's seed okay catalogs, wish books, dreaming.
And here's a reminder, too. There's an organization in town here called Food at First, and they feed people. And
we are very proud of them. We have a community where no one need go hungry.
Right. They do meals almost every day. And if you would like to help and lend a helping hand there.
Which church is it at?
First Christian.
It's Christian.
Right across.
It's downtown.
It's right across
from the police station.
Right across from the police station.
Good idea.
Call 515-292-288. No. 515-292-8890. Think of volunteering at Food at First. You can stir
you
a
can
pot.
You can cook. You can stir. Yeah, you can serve.
You can chop
you
things
can,
up.
And they deliver food. They even deliver to people who really need it. There are a lot of helpful things that one can do.
Yeah. We'll be talking about Valentine's things next week on the Donna Lana Kitchen. And we'll also be talking a little bit about the Chinese New Year coming up and those sort of things. There's all kinds of things to celebrate here in the spring.
Lots of celebrations, always a good thing to do.
We also have some upcoming shows kind of in the works about apples. We want to celebrate the language of recipes. We've got all kinds of good people yet to talk to later this spring. So thank you for joining us at our kitchen table today. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Listen to this show live Tuesday at noon. We do this show live without Annette.
And we're working on a podcast format.
We are.
Ooh. Something to look forward to.
If you miss the show at noon, you can go Tuesday evening and listen at 7 p.m. repeated. Or anytime you can listen to the show at khoyfm.org. It is streamed there. You can download. You can put us on your device. Let us know also what you think about this show. We'd love to hear from you. Support this fine radio station.
Just Google Donna Lana Kitchen.
That's it. Support this fine radio station.
And that's one word. Capital D-O-N-N-A, capital L-O-N-N-A, no spaces.
Yeah. Nothing like causing problems for spell check. I do like that. The Donna Lana Kitchen, thank you for joining us today. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We've had fine engineering by Cynthia McClure. Thank you. Thank you.
And our wonderful intern, Felix Neuig.
Yes. Eat good food and enjoy life.